Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On yesterday's show, we were looking at an article in the Salt Lake Tribune titled, "This Mormon Sunday School Teacher Was Dismissed for Using Church's Own Race Essay in Lesson." And it's the story of a Mormon Sunday school teacher who was named Brian Dawson, who happens to be married to a Nigerian woman. And one of the students in his class was wondering why his wife and her family would join a church that had barred blacks from being ordained to its all-male priesthood until 1978. Why, the student wanted to know, was the ban instituted in the first place? And as we mentioned yesterday, the story goes on to say how Brian Dawson, in order to answer that question, felt it would be appropriate to use one of the gospel topic essays titled Race and the Priesthood, and to read that to his class of 12 to 14-year-olds. According to the article, it didn't sit very well with his higher-ups, and he was removed from his teaching assignment. Even though the essay, according to the article, has been approved by top Mormon leaders and appears on the church's official website, LDS.org. Now, we go on in this article because it interviews a woman by the name of Tamu Smith. I hope we're pronouncing that name correctly. If not, I apologize. But she goes on to talk about this essay on race. And what does she say in the article, Eric?
It says, "Nonetheless, the essay on race," says Tamu Smith, co-author of Diary of Two Mad Black Mormons, "is not all that familiar to the LDS faithful and often their congregational leaders." Quote, "The majority of the church doesn't know about it," said Smith, who has traveled the country for book signings and speaking events. "My former stake president in Provo would not have known about it either if I hadn't called it to his attention."
Now, let's think about that. The Mormon church has had these posted for well over a year now. I mean, the Race and Priesthood article went up in December of 2013, and numerous other gospel topic essays were produced over a period of time during the year 2014. I would say that's a pretty considerable amount of time, It seems like. But yet, I think she's right, because we have come across Mormons who are unfamiliar with the gospel topic essays, who had never heard of them before. We've had to educate people on that. I wonder how many Mormons found out about them by reading MRM.org, because we do have a list of all of them. In fact, our list is much easier to get to than the LDS.org list.
Yeah, just type in gospel topics essays on the search engine and you'll find it right away.
Well, anyway, when she says the majority of the church doesn't know about it, do you think the church is doing a good job? Now, they cited, and we talked about this yesterday, they cited a spokesman, Doug Anderson, who talked about that it's on church-owned media, and then he mentioned social media sharing and Facebook. But how hard has the Mormon church been working to make sure people know about all this? Because if you're going to say that this has been communicated to priesthood leaders, as the article says, that's what Doug Anderson said, that there's been direct correspondence to priesthood leaders. How come Brian Dawson's priesthood leader reacted the way he did? I wouldn't think that would be an appropriate way to act if Brian Dawson's priesthood leader, the one who removed him from his teaching assignment, would have known that it was there. Well, what's wrong with citing something off an official website? What's the problem there?
That's a good point. Peggy Fletcher Stack continues writing and says, despite the essay being included in the latest curriculum for LDS high school and college students, she says many seminary teachers for the high school, institute, college teachers, and even some people teaching at Brigham Young University are blind to it, even when you point things out to them. And I think she's making a good point there, because how many high school or college students who are in their seminary or institute classes really are going to go look this up? They're there oftentimes to get the instruction. They do care in that sense, But homework is not a big deal in either of those two venues. They're there to hear what the teacher has to say, to learn some of the verses that they're told to learn. But these are not people who are focused on this. They're trying to pass their classes in the schools. And then it goes on, the article, it says, it's great that the essay is on the church website, Smith says, but people don't believe it.
Now, that's an interesting statement from Tamu Smith. It's great that the essay is on the church website, but people don't believe it. And we've heard stories about this. There have been stories circulating of when, for instance, a faithful Latter-day Saint is told about the essays and what it contains, what certain essays are actually saying. The first reaction is, they don't believe it. It can't be the church saying that. Somebody must have hacked their website or something crazy like that. But they don't want to believe it. Now, these are things that we know. We've been talking about this for a long time. But a lot of Latter-day Saints don't know their own history. And this is one of the reasons why when we counsel people and talking to Mormons, to be careful about bringing up a lot of their history, because it is so bizarre, even to many members of the church who are not aware of it, that they're going to think you're lying when you bring it up. Mm-hmm. So you need to be cautious. Even though bringing up historical subjects is certainly one of the primary means of Mormons coming out of the church, coming from a non-member can sometimes run a risk that you're going to cut that conversation short because they think you're making it up just to make the church look bad.
Peggy Fletcher Stack continues in her article and makes a really good point here. She said, it, referring to the gospel topic essay on the blacks, was neither signed nor penned by the governing First Presidency, nor has it been mentioned, alluded to, or footnoted in speeches by LDS authorities at the FACE semi-annual general conferences.
That's a great point. I'm trying to rack my brain thinking, well, what have I heard over the past year and a half from General Conference? And I think she's absolutely right. Without me going through and doing a search myself, I can't recall any mention of the gospel topic essays. You would have thought that last year, 2014, would have been a perfect time to at least mention them to the people, either, well, I would say maybe in the October conference, towards the end of 2014. Mm-hmm. Now you've got almost a year that they've been out there. At least let people know you've got a number of these essays out there that they can go and check and have some answers for their inquiring non-LDS friends. But yet what? Nothing. Crickets chirping. You would think they would have taken the opportunity to do that in General Conference, because if there's one program most Mormons are watching at least twice a year, it's General Conference.
And they might miss that, well, on a website, of course, but even if it were put in the Ensign magazine, or I suppose maybe if the bishops were told to read the statement at a Sunday meeting, maybe that would help a little bit. But according to this, it doesn't seem like that was even done ever.
It certainly doesn't, does it?
And then listen to this quote from Smith, and I think she makes a good point here. She says, you would think bishops and stake presidents would have a vested interest in telling the truth about history. Sometimes they act like they don't because they're afraid. And wow, I mean, is that perhaps why Brian Dawson ends up losing his position as a Sunday school teacher, because maybe his leaders weren't quite sure what to do with all of this, and some of the parents may have been complaining, and so how do you deal with it? Just get rid of them.
Well, when she says they're afraid, my question is, afraid of what? Afraid of maybe finding something out about their own church that for years they thought was only a vicious lie told by quote-unquote enemies of the church, and it's going to just crumble the foundation of everything they've ever hoped in or believed? Is that what they're talking about? Are they afraid that maybe telling someone might have a strange reaction? See, I'm not quite sure what she means by being afraid, but I still think that's an interesting thought.
It's at this point in the article where they're going to give the story. So let me read this and give a better understanding of how this story all unfolded. It said, last fall in Honolulu, Dawson, a BYU Hawaii graduate and a returned Mormon missionary, faced a gaggle of teens in his Sunday school class. He heard the question and took a breath. You know, he began, we could rely on the personal witness of believing black members, but there is also a church-approved document the class could read together. It's called Race in the Priesthood and was published in December 2013 on the FACE own website. The students eagerly agreed. So the following week, Dawson arrived, armed with the essay and several articles from the church's official Ensign magazine about early black Mormons, including Elijah Abel, Jane Manning James, and Green Flake. They learned that Abel was ordained to the priesthood during the time of LDS founder Joseph Smith. James had walked across the plains and had sought temple access unsuccessfully for decades, and Flake was among the first Mormon settlers to enter the Salt Lake Valley. All three remained committed Latter-day Saints throughout their lives. The essay noted the priesthood ban was rooted more in earthly racism during Brigham Young's era than heavily revelation. Pointing that out, and that future missionaries should understand this history, was where Dawson's troubles began. After the class, students told their families about the conversation. One parent complained to Dawson's bishop, and I find it can be one parent that causes the whole ruckus. And this is the quote Dawson gives: "Anything regarding black history before 1978 is irrelevant," Dawson recalls his bishop saying, "and it's a moot point." Then, the former teacher says, his bishop insisted during a February interview that Dawson agree never again to bring up the essay or discuss black Mormon history in the class. Dawson declined, even after believing he would be released from teaching the class for disobedience. Quote, "If the Holy Spirit guides me in a way that involves these multitudes of documents," he asked the bishop, "who am I to resist the enticing of the Spirit?" End quote. Listen to how the bishop replied: "The Spirit is telling me to tell you not to use those documents." And so it went. Dawson said he reminded his local LDS leader that he was simply responding to a sincere question, not creating some alternative curriculum. Quote, "My emotions were high. I felt confused and I didn't know what was going on." End quote. And that's when his Nigerian wife stepped in.
So here he's asked a very simple, I would say an innocent question by a young student about a portion of Mormon history. He decides to go to the church to get an official answer that will help this student understand the church's position. And what happens? They hear something they don't want to hear. And so what's the reaction? This child or one of the children in his class goes and tells the parent, and the parent complains, and you know that being a former high school teacher, that as you said, it only takes one, but they complain. But anything prior to 1978 is irrelevant. See, this is where I have a problem with a lot of Latter-day Saints when they tell me, well, that doesn't matter to me. And I will say to them, but you know what? It matters to me, because if you want me to join your church, I want an answer to this.
Yep.
This isn't something that I can easily brush aside. This is something that concerns me. So help me better understand your church's position. Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at this article and the adventures of Brian Dawson and the problems of what happens when you bring up controversial issues within the context of Mormonism, even when they come from an official LDS website.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.